In Dutch, the word for the larynx is called schildklier, which means shield gland, suggesting that the larynx is a protective mechanism concealing a great secret. Interestingly, the word thyroid derives from the Greek word for shield. The great secret of the 12th shadow is language. It is said that in the Garden of Eden, Adam swallowed the apple, which became stuck in his throat and remains there to this day as the Adam's apple in all men. The Adam's apple represents the masculine principle of the mind that becomes identified with your words, thoughts, and actions, and the larynx gives you the illusion of power through language. The 12th shadow is about loving the sound of your own voice, and as such, it is the root of language. However, as we will see at the highest levels of frequency, it is not what you say that matters, but the frequency that lies behind your voice. Vanity can choose the most beautiful of words, but it can never hide the frequency of its tone. It is important to remember here that none of the 64 shadows are inherently bad. If you declare something as bad or evil, you will miss the gift that lies hidden within it. Vanity is simply the lower frequency of the 12th gene key, and, after all, vanity is the foundation of the city of purity. Vanity also goes beyond words and can hide in silence. Sometimes your vanity is hidden in what you do not say. It hides itself away in your thoughts and your feelings. Wherever there is self-identification, there is vanity. The reason that vanity is such a great trial for human beings is because it lies outside the scope of your ego. So you may well be thinking, what can I do about it? How do I transform this shadow state? Well, because this shadow is so elusive, it is better not to think about it at all. Even the very thought that you might be overcoming your own vanity leads to more vanity. All you need to know is that as long as you experience yourself as separate from life, as long as you feel the strength and wonder of your individuality, vanity will still be there, quietly keeping pace with you. It is only late in your evolution, as you approach the highest frequencies of the siddhis, that vanity will finally and suddenly release its hold on you. Vanity does, however, have an arch enemy, which is love. Vanity keeps you from truly loving another because it keeps you isolated. You may be beautiful, intelligent, and virtuous, but still with vanity you will remain defended against others. The more evolved your consciousness becomes, the subtler and therefore more powerful your vanity becomes. Vanity is a shield that, along with its programming partner, the 11th shadow of obscurity, hides the truth from you. For the kind of people who are drawn to reading this material, vanity is one of your great challenges. As you refine your frequency, you naturally fall into the illusion that you are somehow different from others and are becoming purer than the rest of the world. You begin to identify more with your higher self, which your lower self takes great delight in. This is a most tricky time in your spiritual evolution, because it is so easy for you to remain here at a relatively high frequency. You feel powerful, individuated, wise, and well-meaning. However, you have yet to make the greatest leap there is, the leap into true purity, the leap into your own death. Repressive nature, elitist. There are essentially two different types of vanity, coarse vanity and refined vanity. The repressive nature of the 12th shadow is the refined version, which emerges in certain characters as elitism. Elitism is vanity working undercover. These characters may agree with you outwardly, but inwardly feel very differently from what they say. Often they refrain from making any comment at all, preferring to remain detached. This is the domain of the spiritually evolved, those few who have done a lot of work on themselves. These people, inwardly feel that they are clearer than most others around them. They can take pride in being different or in being beyond any creed or system. Such vanity ensures that such a person cannot make the leap that their inner being most longs for, the leap into permanent higher consciousness. This only begins when the awareness of our own vanity finally dawns. Reactive nature, malicious. Malice stems from anger, which in turn stems from fear. The reactive nature of vanity can use the gift of this gene key, the gift of discrimination, as a means of hurting others, whereas the elitist withdraws into silence out of fear of being seen as weak. These people openly use their substantial vocal gifts to inflict pain on others. Like all classic victim patterns, such people usually feel put upon in some way and react maliciously without thinking about the damage their words or actions might do. The 12th gene key has beneath it real emotional power, and it has a God-given talent for language and communication. These people really know how to push other people's buttons through the power of their voice. They can hurt people like no one else can. Their malice may not be premeditated, but it is usually brutal and ends in disaster for them. The 12th gift, discrimination. The secrets of high art. Discrimination may not sound like much of a gift, but when you truly understand the 12th gene key, you will see that it has a great power. To discriminate is to know inherently what and who is healthy for you in life. The energy of vanity is simply self-destructive unless it can be put to good use. Discrimination is exactly that. You take your vanity, the urge to be better or somehow purer than others, and you turn it into art. The 12th gift is deeply associated with the arts, with music, with language, with dance, with drama, and above all, with love. The love within the 12th gift is not universal love, as in the 25th gene key. It is all about falling in love. This is human love with all its attendant drama, obsession, beauty, and danger. Vanity is about loving only yourself, whereas discrimination is ultimately about loving the things and people outside yourself that make you feel good. This 12th gift is about feelings. If this gift is a powerful aspect of your hologenetic profile, you will be strongly motivated and moved by feelings and emotions throughout your life. Your gift is to communicate these feelings to others, and you may do this in a myriad of ways. If you are strongly influenced by this gift, you will recognize the beauty of true expression, which means that you will also recognize when something or someone is not expressing true soul. This can make you one of the best critics of others. However, this gift is not about criticizing flaws and details in others, which is a lower expression of the 18th gene key. It is designed to spotlight that which is not authentic. Discrimination is about being attuned to a higher frequency, which means that it can metaphorically see through walls. Whenever a person is faking or has a concealed agenda, one with the gift of discrimination will immediately feel it as a deep discomfort. If they do not fall in love with something, they distrust it, and the same goes for the people in their lives. To such a person, authenticity is everything. People with the 12th gift cannot be taken in by the enchanters or idealists in the world. They have a deep respect for purity, and it is rooted in a natural prudence. The programming partner of this 12th gift is the 11th gift of idealism, which means that they too are idealists, but they understand that idealism requires the balance of pragmatism and discrimination. Otherwise, it is nothing more than a pipe dream. The gift of discrimination does set you apart from the crowd. It has no choice in doing so because it is naturally seeking a higher frequency. It represents an aspect of your DNA that is constantly striving for something higher and purer, which means that it directly challenges anything or anyone that is influenced by compromise. Discrimination gives humanity a taste of higher order operating behind the scenes of life. This is why it so often manifests through true art. They are true art lovers. The 12th gift does not shy away from anything that is authentic, no matter how messy it may be. These people are the great food discriminators, music discriminators, and language discriminators. They can become the great artists, virtuosos, poets, actors, and educators of humanity. Their gift is to enter unafraid into the drama of life, allowing it to flow through their veins and be expressed through their feelings. Because of the depth of feeling that this gift entails, it tells us something profound about the direction of the human species. We are here to learn to express the deepest yearnings and feelings within our souls. This is why we have to master language and the arts, because they are the transformational field through which we can transcend emotion and touch the higher planes. Out of this 12th gift come humanity's great educators, those rare people who can allow art to touch their hearts and at the same time transmit that essence to others through their language and expression. Wherever you see true passion moving into the world, there you are seeing the influence of this 12th gift. It is both sweeping and consuming, yet at the same time highly refined. Ultimately, these people are driven by the myth of true love. That is what they are yearning for, deep within their souls, and it is why their acts and words, at their highest, are a reflection of the beauty and anguish of this human yearning. Because of its connection with the thyroid system, the 12th gift contains the great teachings of transformation and death. All high art contains the same codes that come through this 12th gift, that life is about transformation, and death is the symbolic movement from one stage of consciousness to another. These truths have always been encoded in the great tragedies and comedies down the ages, and it is through your emotional nature that such truths are imbibed and passed on. It is the thyroid system that controls your metabolism, and has such great influence on your general energy, mood, and breathing patterns. When you laugh or cry, you enter the sacred realm of transformation. It is through your laughter and your tears that the transcendent enters your body in order to alter your chemistry and the pattern of your breathing. Of all the gene keys, this 12th gift represents the mythic passage from one state to a higher state in which the stop codon kills your identification with your past, allowing you to be transformed into something permanently and radically different. The 12th city, purity, swallowed by the void. The human yearning for true love is in reality a lower frequency of a permanent state existing at a higher level of consciousness. This state, called many names by many cultures, is essentially your pure nature, untarnished by human desire and beyond the dualistic mechanism of the mind. Only the higher mind, which is another expression for our heart, can begin to understand true purity, the 12th city. Vanity and purity are mirrors at the two ends of the spectrum of human consciousness. With vanity, your lower self falls in love with itself, and with purity, the higher self falls in love with itself. You might say the purity is when the divine falls in love with you. This can only happen when you come within the sphere of divine love. Your behavior, your thoughts, your feelings, the very air you breathe must resonate to one purpose, what the Sufis call falling in love with the beloved. The beloved is not something out there. It is the essence of your true nature, and you do fall into it because it resides deep within you. Vanity, as we have seen, pursues you right to the end of your journey. Even when you are living from the higher frequency of your gift, vanity is still there. Only when you have attained the highest peak of consciousness does the mystical event occur. You give up everything you have attained. You have to court annihilation. This is the final of the three great trials in the ring of trials. An opening from above and below then occurs simultaneously, and you enter the hallowed sanctuary of the innermost of the Kodam rings, the Ring of Secrets. But for this miracle to occur, your vessel must be absolutely pure and flawless. Purity is a much misunderstood term. In human language, it can be applied as an adjective to almost anything, but at its highest frequency, it can only be applied to one word, the heart. When your heart finally remembers its own original purity, only then will you finally and willingly give up your existence. Everything in the universe has at its core the same original purity. We are all shards of a divine crystal, and as our forms go through their processes of polishing, so consciousness begins to remember itself through us. Even the most evil of beings has at its core a shining pure heart, which means that in truth there is no evil. There are only progressive levels of density. This is the great secret you come to embody here in the Ring of Secrets. In the ancient alchemical systems, the throat center was seen as the greatest of all initiations. In the Indian chakra system, the throat chakra, known as Vishuddha, is the clearinghouse for the higher consciousness. All the lower chakras, including the heart, are synthesized and purified in the throat. In this respect, it represents the boundary of the known and the unknown. Likewise, in the Jewish Kabbalah, the throat is symbolized by an invisible sphere known as Da'ath, the abyss. This abyss must be crossed in order for higher consciousness to dawn, and the crossing of death is a symbolic letting go of all your hard-earned knowledge. It is the ultimate purification in which you meet your own death and are reborn in a higher sphere. The being who has passed through this abyss and entered the sphere of the 12th Siddhi becomes once again like a child. Through their heart, they can perceive the divine, beyond longing, beyond concepts, yet still deeply human and with a voice beyond words. Others feel such people truly do not belong in this world, even though they are the most natural expression of what it means to be human. In this state, nothing can contaminate their purity. Their bodies can be decrepit, even ugly, but their hearts can do nothing but sing out with the truth of their true nature. Those who manifest this siddhi often live the humblest of lives, unseen by the world at large. They often pass quietly through the world, living simply, yet reminding everyone who meets them that purity really can exist in a human form. If you wish to play with the frequency of the 12th siddhi, you need only keep reminding yourself of your own heart. Beneath the layers of karma, ancestral fear, and inevitable childhood conditioning beats an aspect of the great universal heart, and its purity can be remembered. Its color is the white beyond white, for it is the eternal child within you. It is the you that you cannot help but fall in love with. To look at the world from the 12th siddhi is to see everyone through the crystalline vessel. It is all you can see in everyone you meet. However, the very moment you view anything in a negative way, this presence within you will instantly vanish. In language, purity becomes poetry. In thought, purity becomes essence. When we combine language and thought, we have the master codes for ascending beyond the mental plane. The actual words for each of the 64 siddhis are not really words in the normal sense. They are doorways to realms of higher frequency. The word purity has an essence that is onomatopoeic at the level of vibration. In other words, if you sound the word purity within your heart and mind over and over, you will actually feel its quality residing within your own heart. This is not about affirmation. You cannot simply do a technique and feel it. You have to be ready in your own heart. You have to love the word and all it stands for in order to feel this miracle. Words used poetically and vibrated within the chambers of the heart have the power to pierce through the layers of fear that envelop the hearts of others. Purified thought has an even more powerful effect. Spoken language uses sound, which restricts its impact to our solar system. Sound waves eventually dissipate. But language cloaked in thought travels at an almost inconceivable speed and literally rebounds off the walls of our universe. Only pure love can rupture the walls of a universe. See the 25th gene key. Therefore, a pure thought will affect all levels of creation and all beings within creation almost instantaneously. A pure thought is like a sugar lump dropped into a teacup. Within a very short time, it permeates everything. At a certain level, purity of thinking will take you to the edge of hyperspace. The more you allow your thoughts to be imbued with the essence of divinity, the more your whole being reaches a kind of escape velocity. At a certain level of frequency, you simply dissolve into the great teacup. You transcend the mind by becoming one with mind. The paradox here is that in becoming mind, mind ceases to exist. This is the true symbolism of the genetic stop codon. It brings an end to your own individual existence, revealing vanity for what it truly is, the illusion that you are separate. You are so pure that it is not possible for you to exist as anything other than existence itself. In crossing the great cosmic throat center, you are swallowed by life itself. 13th Gene Key. Listening through love. Programming partner, 7th gene key. Codon ring, the ring of purification, 1330. Physiology, amygdala. Amino acid, glutamine. The 13th shadow, discord. The chemistry of pessimism. The 13th gene key concerns a single theme, the theme of listening. Through this gene key, we will see how many dimensions there are to the art of listening and how deeply tied it is with the expansion or contraction of human consciousness. At the shadow frequency, this is the shadow of discord, which is the inability to listen to and learn from your experiences in the world. Listening is entirely different from hearing. Hearing refers to the acoustic absorption of auditory information, whereas listening is something that can only be done with your whole being. Often, listening requires withdrawal and time in order for it to function effectively. Listening is also highly linked to the way in which you process your life experiences on an emotional level. The link between listening and the emotions has profound implications for the future of this gene key, and in particular, its shadow frequency. Because of the global mutation currently taking place in the solar plexus system of all human beings, our emotional chemistry is undergoing some extraordinary changes, and the 13th shadow will be affected by these changes. Along with its programming partner, the 7th shadow of division, this genetic partnership exerts an enormous influence on the direction of humanity as a species. These two gene keys are prime programming agents for the way in which humans interact at a group level. They actually cut far deeper than the tribal programming archetypes within our genome, which also affect our interactive capacities. The 7th and 13th gene keys steer the one consciousness of humanity along the line of our destiny. Whilst the 7th gene key pulls you towards the future, the 13th urges you to listen to and learn from your past. This archetypal placement within your DNA makes these two gene keys different from all others, as though they were somehow outside the scope of human influence. It is the battle waged within the frequencies of these codes that decides your future. The 13th gene key, in particular, is one of the most important of all the 64 gene keys, since it involves the way in which you process your past. Discord refers to the inability to escape your own past. Stacked within the human genome lies a library of collective human experience, and your inability to process all this memory is what keeps you locked into the same self-destructive patterns. The 13th shadow shares a very important chemical connection to the 30th shadow through its link with the same genetic codon signature, known as the Ring of Purification. The 30th shadow, the shadow of desire, is where the connection between your ability to listen is weighed against the raw force of your human desire. This codon, which codes for the amino acid known as glutamine, is one of the great human genetic battlefields. Interestingly enough, there is now a large body of scientific evidence linking this amino acid to various functions and malfunctions in our gut. Symbolically, one might draw a connection between how effectively we human beings process our past and how effectively our body eliminates waste. The force of human desire, found in the 30th shadow, usually outweighs our ability to listen to our past experience, and this leads us once again down roads that do not serve humanity as a whole. The problem is rooted in the human emotional system, and this 30th shadow of desire is the core of it. Because desire cannot be sated in its current form, it influences the direction of the whole human race. Despite what has happened in our past, we go on making the same poor decisions and judgments. This sets up a global frequency of discord in which we can clearly see where we have been going wrong, but are unable to remedy it at a collective level. An example of this is the current threat of global warming. We can see what damage our lifestyle is doing to the long-term future of our planet, but our desire outstrips the energy to do anything about it. Anyone who has a deep knowledge of human history will see the same cycles being repeated over and over, but each time with different nuances. It is true that today there is more global awareness of the problem than ever before. However, this awareness does not change human behavior. We hear the discord that we are creating, but we do not listen to it. In the end, our emotional urge to satiate the desire within always wins. That sums up the dilemma of the 13th shadow. The ancient Chinese name for this 13th hexagram of the I Ching is the Fellowship of Man. It is a beautiful name, seemingly filled with hope, and it does, in fact, describe the higher frequencies of this 13th gene key. However, at the lower frequencies, because of our inability to listen, we go on pursuing our own short-term agendas with disastrous consequences to the greater society. Ironically, we find no solace from our own desires either. No matter how many of our desires we sate, more appear. We hear only discord in the world because we are unable to listen to the overall dilemma. We cannot yet see it at a collective level, so we are not ready to find out what the Fellowship of Man really is. This is why we keep programming our future direction through the seventh shadow as a future of division. Not listening to the real problem, all our actions create more and more divisions within our societies. Out of all this ancestral memory and our inability to create or find the fellowship of man, a huge pessimism emerges at an unconscious level. We no longer believe collectively that we can surmount our own nature and create a truly peaceful world. History provides compelling evidence of this. In fact, our pessimism emerges directly from our genes, because shockingly, our pessimism is in actuality correctly founded. We cannot surmount our own nature. Only nature can overcome us, which is precisely what lies in the pipeline right now. Nature is preparing a new kind of human being. Nature as a whole has learned and listened to her past experience, and through us she will create the giant leap that is needed to free us from a web that we have no hope of escaping. Nature will create a human in whom the art of listening will no longer have to compete with raw desire. In a single unprecedented and radical sweep, she will do this by killing off desire itself. Repressive nature. Permissive. These people pretend to be empathic and sympathetic to others, whilst at the same time doing nothing. The repressive side of this shadow may make a show of listening to everyone, but it soon becomes apparent that they have no real backbone. These people are permissive in the sense that they let others walk all over them without learning anything. They will agree with you no matter what you say. They mistake hearing for listening, and in doing so, they cut themselves off emotionally from others and from their environment. This is one of the deepest forms of emotional repression that does not want to take in the pain-pleasure cycle at any level, so it sacrifices both extremes and settles for a false sense of safety. Reactive nature. Narrow-minded. When discord manifests through a reactive being, it becomes narrow-mindedness and/or bigotry. These people will disagree with you no matter what you say. Narrow-mindedness is about getting stuck in a reactionary emotional pattern and then making a lifestyle out of it. These people are literally unable to see beyond the limits of their own desires, and they are filled with pessimism. Their philosophy is founded upon the fear patterns that have guided all human beings to where they are now, and they are not open to the possibility of real change. Such people harbor a deep bitterness about the nature of human beings, and this comes out most frequently as anger, especially at those who do not see things their way. With such people, it often becomes their mission in life to debunk the views of those who are optimistic about the future and about humanity. The 13th gift, discernment. The fellowship of man. Discernment emerges as your emotional nature comes more and more into awareness. As you realize how deeply in the thrall of desire you are, you begin to understand the whole of humanity as well. Out of this incredible swelling of awareness arises the 13th gift of discernment. Discernment begins at an individual level as you come to see how deeply your view of others is connected to your feelings. Only when personal feelings are witnessed and examined can you begin to see things in a more objective manner. Over time, your personal agendas become more lucid and you reclaim the ability to listen to others and the world from a broader perspective. At this level of frequency, you become fully aware of the desires coursing through your body, and although you cannot do anything to stop them, you are no longer the victim of them. For the first time, you see your own individuality clearly, and you realize that something else exists behind that individuality. A kind of witnessing awareness that is greater than your sense of individuality. This is the birth of your ability to listen. With the rising of your discernment comes many gifts. It may appear to you now as though a great veil has been drawn back from the world. As we have seen, the 13th gene key is a repository of the collective past experiences and memories of humanity. Instead of reacting out of this karmic library, you now begin to demystify your own past. What you may have thought of as a random series of experiences can be seen as following a discernible pattern. Without being caught in the drama of subjective emotional personification, you can begin to view life at a mythic level. This mythical thinking is the way in which the mind interprets your ability to listen behind the veil of your desire. To view life at a mythic level is to see the great archetypes playing out in our lives, both our personal lives and the greater collective history of man. Through understanding your own past in this way, you can see that the storylines of all individuals play out variations of the same themes. At this level, we can recognize these same archetypal themes in every culture's rituals, fairy tales, legends, and myths. Once you stop viewing life on a subjective, emotional level, a new landscape of feeling opens up inside you. This feeling is the early manifestation of your future ability to transcend your emotional system, and it is experienced as optimism. Optimism is the gradual swelling of awareness within your solar plexus system, transferred and projected outward onto the world. One might also view it in reverse. The awareness connecting all life forms is received and drawn into your solar plexus system, thereby expanding your sense of self to include a far wider reality, the true fellowship of man. Through our cultural heritage, whatever it happens to be, we are all embedded with the myths, stories, and archetypes that we need to eventually transcend our own emotional dramas. All the world's stories, rituals, and beliefs have grown out of the very infrastructure of our DNA, which is why the same patterns emerge over and over throughout history, regardless of culture, geography, or even isolation. These collective myths and fairy tales contain the alchemical codes of evolution, including its various mutations. The stories always pass through dark periods of transition, ultimately arriving at transcendent states of consciousness. This is why discernment leads to optimism. With your gift of discernment, you don't just see the symbols. You live them in your own life, which is why they bring you such optimism. Every character within the myths is an aspect of the world's psyche, and every circumstance they pass through is a part of our own genetic and spiritual evolution. All of this is particularly relevant today because we are passing through a mythic test as an entire species, which is perhaps the first time this has ever happened. Those with discernment know in their bellies that this phase of our history must and will lead to a transcendent leap in consciousness, regardless of the subjective interpretations of the fear-based culture in which we live. The 13th Siddhi, Empathy, the Great Cosmic Hub. The 13th Siddhi, like its partner, the 7th Siddhi, has much secret wisdom hidden within it. Our DNA is an incredible substance. It contains all the memories of our entire species and even those earlier life forms from which we descended. Like a fractal shard of God itself, DNA forms the living, vibrating link to the beginning of life on this planet. Even more profoundly, it connects us to the seed from which our very universe first sprouted. It is through this 13th Siddhi that information from our collective past can be recovered. Like a kind of cosmic librarian, it has all the access codes to every volume ever written on the pages of life. We are not just talking information here. but experience. The 13th Siddhi can unlock the essence of what it is to experience being a wild panther or a strawberry or a mollusk. This is the power of empathy. These days, most people use the word empathy without grasping its deeper connotations. As a fairly modern word, it is almost always confused with sympathy, a much older word coined by Aristotle. In the language of the 64 gene keys, empathy represents a siddhic vibration and as such cannot be grasped by the mind because true empathy has nothing whatsoever to do with the mind. The prefix M means within, whereas the prefix sim means with. Herein lies the key to understanding the word. Whereas sympathy means to feel with another person, empathy means to be inside that person. Most people cannot conceive of being inside another person, so the term has come to be seen as metaphorical and is generally understood as being a mental or emotional projection onto or into another person. Let us reclaim, then, the true power of this simple word. The siddhi of empathy requires complete dissolution of the individuated self. Once identification with one's form has been cut, empathy reveals itself as the background awareness of all living forms. In other words, we really are inside each other, whereas sympathy requires two, empathy demands one. We have seen that the foundation of this 13th gene key is based on listening. Indeed, at the level of the 13th siddhi, listening becomes all there is. Like a black hole, this listening absorbs everything that moves into it, space, time, everything. Eventually, listening becomes so total that it fuses together subject and object, so that the concept of listening itself disappears. This gives a small hint of what the siddhi of empathy really means. It is interesting to note how vehemently mass consciousness has always feared the number 13. In traditional folklore, 13 gained a bad name through the system of tarot, in which it stood for the death card. These ancient esoteric codes are always founded in an original truth. Empathy is indeed a death, the death of the separate self that reveals the underlying nature of humanity. Empathy is the truest sense organ of humanity, but it cannot function through the individual, only through the collective. The 13th Siddhi and the 7th Siddhi program each other through time. The 13th, being the repository of the past, programs the future of humanity, and the 7th programs the past. This last statement may appear to make no sense, but at the siddhic level it is a truism. At the siddhic level, the seed and the fruit exist within each other, because of each other. We think of the future being uncertain, whereas the past is in fact just as uncertain because of how it is remembered. This is the power of myth. It can take an event or series of events in time and make them immortal. To be empathic is to have access to the egg out of which all the great myths have sprung. Empathy alone goes further and deeper than myth, because it reunites the opposites and brings an end to the stories themselves. Empathy is a state of consciousness outside of time, even though it enfolds time. Again, this is symbolized by the mystery of the number 13, which stands for the hub of the great wheel of 12, the mystic number of the Grail at the center of the round table, or the Christ encircled by his 12 disciples. It is the number of Arachne, the spider, the mystical 13th sign of the zodiac. She sits at the heart of the web of creation, and through her legs she remains in constant empathy with all that is. There is huge fear to be absorbed before you attain a siddhic state. In the case of the 13th siddhi, This involves complete absorption in the universal discord of the 13th shadow. The human interpretation of this fear is the experience of feeling cut off from all that is alive and warm. It is an ice-cold zone in which aloneness is experienced as agony. However, through the purging of this experience, the 13th city opens its eye on a new world, a world in which the past has been magically transformed into a radiant new future. We might recall here that this gene key is a part of the ring of purification. The human addiction to desire comes to an end in the siddhic state of consciousness, and it is said that one's spirit shall no longer return to the earth, but take a birth in a higher sphere of existence. These are mythic rather than literal interpretations of what occurs to such a person. All the great esoteric interpretations, karma, rebirth, and justice, must be mythic rather than literal, since the true siddhic state cannot be conveyed through words. In universal empathy, you enter the center of the human family and become one with all that is. Those who awaken to the truth of their consciousness through this city will become beacons that live on in our history. These people have learned the deepest art of all, the art of listening. To sit in the presence of such a person is to be healed through being listened to. Listening at this level is no longer a passive phenomenon. It is actually quite a forceful cleansing at an auric level. To be listened to by the great cosmic mother is to have all your fears brought to the surface and loved into oblivion. These people are the most powerful of all shamans. They can open the portal of the past within you so widely that you become aware of yourself as a great cosmic receptacle rather than a point of focused identity. They can show you that all creatures and beings dwell within you, and that if you open yourself widely enough to our collective past, you will also see our collective future. To such a being, the holy state of perfection, known as the fellowship of man, is a constant and manifest reality. 14th Gene Key. Radiating Prosperity. Programming Partner, 8th Gene Key. Codon Ring, the Ring of Fire. 1-14. Physiology, Small Intestine. Amino Acid, Lysine. The 14th shadow, compromise, the leaking wagon. In the Chinese I Ching, the word for the 14th hexagram is usually translated by the phrase possession in great measure, and it is traditionally symbolized by a large wagon laden down with goods. It is a symbol of wealth, health and prosperity, which are all themes linked to good fortune as well as hard work. This 14th gene key and its shadow really concern the way in which humans work. It concerns the actual choice of work you do, the people you work with, and above all, the way you work. Every human being has a built-in genetic need to work. Interestingly, the very word work has become associated in the English language with the concept of effort, which shows just how deeply the collective shadow of this 14th gene key has descended into our lives. Work can actually mean many different things. It all depends upon your attitude toward life. The source of the 14th shadow is compromise, and compromise has become the norm for the majority of people on this planet. Compromise has become so embedded in our psyches that we don't even realize that we are doing it anymore. Compromise is the byproduct of living without a sense of personal freedom. It implies a lack of imagination and an inability to believe in the power of your own uniqueness and individuality. The 14th shadow is paired with the 8th shadow of mediocrity, and thus we humans live, sandwiched between these two low-frequency victim states, unable to envision a way out of our uninspiring life situations. Even those of us who can see a way out of our dissatisfaction rarely have the courage to actually follow through with our dreams because of a deep-seated fear that we lack the power and capacity to complete the long journey toward those dreams. Compromise begins deep inside us. It begins when we are very young, as we inherit the world shadows from our parents and our schooling. Many people dream and aspire to greatness when they are young, but most have given up on their dreams by the time they reach their 40s. Many give up much earlier, and some of us never even get off the ground. Most young children growing up in today's world dream of being film stars or footballers or famous singers, and most adults see these dreams as passing phases in a young person's life. However, these young people are unconsciously projecting their own inherent urge to excel in an area of life. This kind of early dreamy aspiration actually burns at a very high frequency, and if it can be maintained, harnessed, and given direction, it will eventually lead these children in the direction of their excellence. The sad truth is that the dreams of most children are stamped out by their schools in the endless monotony of the set educational curricula. It is in school that most children learn to associate work with boredom, effort, and drudgery. The problem with such modern school systems is that they tend to homogenize children, treating them as one collective body that needs to be educated instead of treating every individual differently. Many children simply do not suit schools at all. Added to this, if one's parents do not believe in themselves, then it will be very difficult for them to creatively inspire their children. It is small wonder, then, that we humans cannot sustain the enthusiasm of our dreams long into our adulthood, ironically, at a time when we need that enthusiasm the most. Compromise is bred into us through society's systems. Whenever you compromise, you are settling for second best, and so you can never fully enjoy what you do in life. If you do not enjoy it, you can never excel in it. Enjoyment and enthusiasm are the fuel in the turbine that drives you to excel. All children are born with a certain genius, and if allowed to develop in the right direction, that genius will inevitably emerge, and the work that they do will inspire others to achieve the same high standards. Genius itself is highly contagious, just as compromise is. Because genius is so contagious and empowering, individuals can truly change the collective frequency of the whole of humanity. Compromise is often a very subtle thing at the beginning. It is not really about your action, but about your spirit. If you do something that you don't really like, but it is a stepping stone towards your dreams, then that will transform the way in which you do it. If, however, you do something that you don't like because society has in some way pressured you to do it, then you are on a slippery slope. That kind of compromise can easily become a habit, and in the end it will sap your spirit and draw you further away from your true potential. You need to keep your enthusiasm alive by seeing what you do as a part of your overall direction in life. This is how you can bring meaning into even the dullest of jobs. The 64 gene keys contain the genetic codes for all possible types of genius. This is what the 64 gifts are. They form the collective matrix for true human genius. It is of note that the two words genus and genius are so closely related to each other, since genus encapsulates the entire human species, and genius, likewise, is a hereditary trait that appears across all gene pools. However, contrary to widespread belief, genius is neither special nor rare. It is present as a seed in every single human being, just by dint of being born. The misunderstanding about genius concerns its definition, which has been narrowed down by mainstream use to refer mostly to the faculty of intellect. However, the etymology of the word genius points towards a far more mysterious faculty, a kind of guiding spirit or demon within your life. Such a spirit might be seen to be your higher self, your hologenetic profile operating through you at a much higher frequency. Genius denotes great creativity, originality, and enthusiasm, but it is in no way limited to people of high intellectual capacity. This 14th gene key forms a genetic codon group called the Ring of Fire, which suggests that genius is a spark that needs to be fanned into action. The other chemical component of this Ring of Fire is the first gene key, with its gift of freshness. Genius is therefore intimately connected to this idea of freshness and newness. The greatest damage done to individuals in our world is the continual programming by the low-frequency collective consciousness that forces people to compromise and give up on their dreams. The spark of genius is there at birth, and if recognized at an early age, the child can lead a childhood individually tailored to fan the flames of that particular genius. Finally, compromise cannot bring you prosperity because it makes you a follower rather than a creator. True prosperity emerges from doing what we are here to do rather than being simply another cog in a collective machine. Prosperity is the byproduct of individual creative endeavor and requires a sustained sense of empowered direction. The moment you make a compromise, your wagon begins to leak energy. The riches that you were born with begin to decay. The very frequency of compromise negates the possibility of good fortune and synchronicity. It is a no man's land where nothing of beauty can ever occur, and no trace of inherent genius and purpose can be realized. Repressive nature. Impotent. For those who are unconsciously dominated by fear, the 14th shadow represents an almost inescapable dilemma. The more one compromises in life, the more powerless one feels to escape. A great deal of our actual vital life energy is held within this 14th gene key, and when we do not release this energy through work that we find fulfilling, our power becomes choked up inside us. The word impotent has the double connotation of applying to our sexuality, which is also deeply connected to this 14th gene key. Sexual vibrancy and fertility, in part, rises and falls upon how much fulfillment we get out of our lives. Making compromises out of fear will actually deplete our fertility. Impotence does not necessarily mean that one appears weak. Repressed natures often do a good job of hiding their weakness by going along with whatever happens. True impotence in this respect is about not having the courage to stand alone and pursue one's unique path. Reactive nature. Enslaved. The reactive nature of this shadow is also based upon basic insecurity, but instead of collapsing into impotence, these people react by trying to prove themselves. This is a classic pattern in the world today. We see people working hard in jobs that are not really right for them in an attempt to prove to themselves and others that they are special. These people are enslaved to their own need for recognition. Ironically, even if they receive recognition, it doesn't fulfill them because they have never unleashed their true potential in life. Such people are merely pretending to be powerful in life. If you provoke them, they will soon show their insecurity through their rage. True power never needs to prove itself to others or the world. True power is only concerned with the job at hand. The 14th gift, competence, the fire in the belly. As we have seen, within every human being lies a latent genius, and this genius emerges when you stop making compromises in life. Competence is the quality that accompanies a person who loves what they are doing. It is one of those gifts that cannot be taught, because true competence hints at much more than simply